being aware of his presence now in our midst. We thank him for our time of worshiping in song. Thank him for Joyce and for the instruments of music. Right now in his presence, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares in your stead. Those concerns of the heart, loved ones, for whom you're praying and whom you carry in your heart, if you'd like to just speak their name before his throne, go ahead and turn them over to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. 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 And Lord, you said the Holy Spirit, when he's come, will reveal himself as the Spirit of truth and guide us into all truth. And he'll not speak of himself, but take that which is yours and reveal it to us. May the Holy Spirit have freedom to manifest Jesus, the resurrected Son of God, our Savior, our life, our all. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified in the midst of his children in this place, this day. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we're glad that the camp has enough money to pave the streets. We pray that we'll stay out of their way and they'll stay out of ours. And you know how to work all that out. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pave our streets with tars. You pave yours with gold. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Now we just yield ourselves to be led, be used, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, Joyce, she talked to me, honey. My name is Tommy. Just a moment. Would you like to, I don't want much time to be gone. Is it a word of witness? Is that what it is? You may give a prophetic word, would you please? Thank you.
My children, I am here this morning in your midst. I am that river flowing through here this morning as you sang.
Yes, Lord.
Come and step into that water and receive your every need.
Yes, Lord.
Whether it be financial, spiritual, emotional, or physical, I am here to meet that every need.
Yes, Lord.
Step into that water, my children, and receive from me this morning.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you. Lord, we do. We want to step into it. And you are the river of living water by the Spirit flowing out of our innermost being. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That was beautiful. Thank you. Any other word need to come forth? And we all learned together, you see. Joyce felt responsible for protecting me as, the one that was the preaching there and as her daddy and all that. And it's good to be questioned. And I thank Carol for being sensitive and not taking that as a rebuke, but obeying the Lord. We all learned together, and that was beautiful. Thank you, darling. Thank you. In the word of the Lord, in the Philippian letter, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not everyone on their own things, but everyone also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of human beings. And being found in fashion as a person, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Thank you, Lord. That is the word of our God for his people. Hallelujah. We are in a process. We're really on a journey from one world to another world, from one kind of being to another kind of being. And the Holy Spirit has been given to direct us within and without in this journey, and to enable us to be fulfilled in terms of our purpose, individually and corporately. We are in the process of being transformed from the likeness of one Adam, A-D-A-M, into the likeness of the second Adam, A-D-A-M. And that is a process. And it happens from within out. Star Daly, whom many of us knew and loved, used to say, life is an inside job. Learning to live on the inside of you, that's really where it takes place. And it's amazing how the life around us persists on claiming our attention and claiming importance and supreme importance, and really seems to fight us from getting down underneath all the stuff to where we really are and learning to live from the root systems of our own being. You give yourself to have a quiet time, for instance. And if you've not done this consistently, and you set aside a half an hour for your quiet time to listen, to think of God, to present yourself, and you select that hour, whatever time of day you want to select it, the minute you do, and you go into your closet, so-called, very likely, if you're a parent, the minute you close the inward door, a child will scream, or the phone will ring, or your husband come home from work early. Something happens to really compete with that time that you set apart to be alone. And we have to learn in the traffic of life how to protect ourselves to that inner recess. Suzanne Wesley, the mother of Charles and John and about 18 others, I think they had 19 or 20 children. Can you imagine a preacher having that many children? But Susanna, who gave an hour a week to each child that she had for personal training, they, of course, lived in a manse, wasn't all that luxurious. She didn't have a private room, but she did have an apron. And when she got ready for her quiet time, she just went over to a chair, put the apron over her face. When the family saw the apron over Mama's face, they knew to be quiet. Mama had gone within. I don't know what your apron is, but for God's sake, for yours, find an apron. Learn how to go into the deep place of your own inner being. It is a wonderful place. For there in that place within you is your lover, the lover of your soul, the Lord Jesus Christ. At the very heart of your being, by the Spirit. And there from within, he's saying, I'm here to protect, to provide, to cleanse, to consecrate, to empower. I'm here to be one with you from the depth of your inner being. It is something that we all need to experience for ourselves. We're blessed and helped by others. But there is that work within us that needs to be done just between us and the Lord. The Holy Spirit living within us. Now, one aspect of this transformed life has to do with the Holy Spirit showing us the difference between our mind in the natural, the Bible calls it the carnal mind, the mind of our own humanity, and the mind of God. I told you last night that God so made us that what we are in the inner person, the inner mind, the unconscious, if you please, or subconscious, what you are in your heart is really manifested in your outward life. And the Lord wants us to manifest the kingdom of heaven on the outside. Heaven is waiting
for human beings to learn to move from within the depth in such a way that we can manifest the glory of God in this outward world. But here again, heaven waits. The Lord waits for us to move with Him from the inside of our being. Now, what aspect of this transformation? This is Romans 12, 1, incidentally. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be not conformed. I beseech you, therefore, my brothers and sisters, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your true spiritual worship. Now, that's what I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit coming to live within us to give us the mind of Christ. One of the first things he begins to teach us, and this is a consistent and persistent teaching, is to let us experience that in God's kingdom, everything belongs to God. In God's kingdom, everything belongs to God. If there's anything you own in your own mind, to that degree, you are outside the kingdom of God. If there's anything in your mind that you own in your own mind, to that degree, you're outside the kingdom of God. That's a strong word. That's a threatening word. I hope it disturbs you. Because in God's kingdom, He is the owner. We are the stewards under His ownership. Now, we're responsible as stewards, to be stewards, but never owners. So the Holy Spirit begins to work with us. And one point at which He works is concerning ourselves. You are not your own. You're not your own. You're not your own. You're His. Made by God. Made for God. Bought with a price. Not of silver and gold, but of His precious blood. You are His. Now that's not bad, is it? Isn't it wonderful to start experiencing that? I don't know about you, but I found a lot in me about which I've been ashamed. My granddaddy Tyson, whom I love so much and sort of idolized as a little boy, I knew I was going to be like him. He was a farmer. I followed him across those fields. I would put my foot where his was and try to jump to his other track, you know, all of that. I really wanted to be like my granddaddy Tyson. He was about 6'3" or 4", something like that. Long, lanky. Earl sort of has his build. He's not quite like, not as tall as my granddaddy Tyson. And you know, I didn't make it. I felt sort of hurt as a little boy. And I began to realize I wasn't going to be like my granddaddy. There was so much of other genes that got mixed up with mine. But wanting to be like that. And the Holy Spirit began to show me as I grew up. These things that you have where you've missed the mark, that makes you want to feel guilty. Whip yourself. It's all right, son. I've got it covered. I love you. I've always wanted to be an egghead. I love people that got good minds. I guess one reason I feel ashamed that I don't have a better mind, feel threatened a little bit. But God is beginning to showed me. Even after I was saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, I found these things going on within me. For instance, I got a call one day from the moderator of the Baptist State Convention in Michigan. Called me down in North Carolina and said, your name has been suggested that we invite you to come for our annual pastor's conference as one of our preachers. A Methodist preacher from North Carolina being invited to preach to the Baptist preachers in Michigan. Man, I accepted right away. I knew the Lord had something in mind. And I got up to Michigan, and they told me the other speaker was Morton Kelsey. Well, I had heard Morton. I didn't know him as well then as I know him now. And I knew that he was a brilliant lecturer, an outstanding scholar. In fact, Morton has written 30-some books. Any one of them is worth the price just to get the glossary and the bibliography. That's wonderful. But anyway, we got that Baptist meeting. Morton gave the first talk. Well, you never heard anything so brilliant. He was just throwing off idea after idea, you know. My goodness, just throwing it out. Great big chunks. I was thrilled. Oh, it was just wonderful. I was so blessed. And after he finished, I realized I'm next. I was going to speak that afternoon. Well, I got out under a tree on that college campus where we were meeting. I said, Lord, you played a trick on me. It doesn't seem to be very fair. I know there must be times when Morton Kelsey fails. And Lord, you anointed him extra specially. And let him be the most brilliant he's ever been this morning. You knew I was gone this afternoon. And Lord, I'm ashamed to even be on the same platform where that fellow has preached so brilliantly. And I heard coming up from within me, son, you can't speak like Morton Kelsey, and you needn't try. And I thought, Lord, don't rub it in. And then I heard this thought. On the other hand, Morton can't speak like you, and he doesn't try. Learn to be yourself in me, son. And the Lord began to do a work in my life. And I got to that platform that afternoon. I was so satisfied with what the Lord was going to do with me. Fear was gone. A confidence in the Lord was given. And I gave myself to be used. Through that and many subsequent experiences, Morton Kelsey has become one of the dearest friends I've ever known. I've heard him say it many times in my presence, and he said it to others when I wasn't around because they've told me that I have been one of the greatest blessings in his life. Yet in fact, I got a letter from about a month ago where he stated that in writing, I've got it. And any time the devil wants to belittle me and make me ashamed of my giant intellect, I show him Morton's letter. And I say, you go to hell. here's a confession from Morton about how much God uses me for him. I may not be the intellect he is, but I'm the blessing he needs. Glory to God. Listen, learning to be at home with Jesus on the inside of you. And so the Lord begins to work with us, showing us at the deep understanding level, you're mine, and I'm not ashamed that you're mine. Learn to surrender and celebrate as a child of God. Now, knowing this, you see, we learn to start accepting ourselves, not on the basis of self-justification, but on the basis of grace. Now, we're not going to come to the cross for this. It's dangerous. Let me just illustrate what I mean. In our land today, throughout the world, there's a movement of humanism that is deeply rooted in our educational system and is being made manifest. And it goes like this. I am of infinite worth. I am in control of that which is mine. It is my mind. It is my spirit. It is my body. Some would even say, it is made by God. Here's a line of thinking in our day. It's quite prevalent. God made me. Consequently, I'm good. Because when God created, he said good and very good. So God made me. I'm good. Very good. Because God made me. I happen to be homosexual. If I were, I have friends who say this. I happen to be homosexual. God made me. I'll celebrate my sexuality. Don't you dare say I'm sick. Don't you dare judge my nature. Don't you dare think I need healing. You claim to love me. If you do, then honor my individuality. It's of God. Now, where is the fallacy in that? The fallacy is this. We fail to realize that we are a fallen human nature. So God doesn't say to us as a self-centered, sinful person, come and receive self-justification. He says, come to me like you are. I will change you. I will, really transform you. I will change your nature into mine. And so he is saying, accept the fact that you are mine. But if you have not been born of my spirit, you're my creation, but you're not my child. You're my creation. You're not my child. Humanism doesn't see that distinction. Humanism says, since you're God's creation, you're God's child automatically. You see, I don't want you to be confused about what I mean. I'm not asking you to agree with me. But I hope you're not confused about what I'm saying. The scriptures, as I understand it, makes a distinction between creation of God and child of God. We come to God as creation. We are birthed into being a child. God never made but one species of human beings. That was Adam and Eve. Jesus wasn't made of God. Jesus was birthed of God. Birthed of God. And there's a difference between being made and being birthed. And so God invites us as creatures to come to him in order to be birthed.